You're listening to the Jason Greger Show podcast, brought to you by Lakewood Chev. They will steer you straight with a 39.95 wheel alignment. Check it out at lakewoodchev.com.
Let's get to the Rashog Report, brought to you by Auto City Empton, St. Albert Trail, and 131st Avenue. Cars, vans, trucks, SUVs, you name it, they have it. Over 750 previously owned vehicles to choose from. Stop in and get a great deal. Shogger, we asked the Struds and all our listeners a question earlier. Lucic, Eberle, Nugent Hopkins, which one do you think has the potential to have the biggest impact in tonight's game and why?
Nugent Hopkins, because I think he's playing the best of the three of those guys. I think he's the closest to his best game, just the way he's been playing lately. I know he's had some scoring chances. He's had some looks. He hasn't buried them. But he's been doing a good job for the most part against Getzlaff, although Getzlaff has had a pretty big impact on the series so far. But I think it comes down to Nugent Hopkins being the one that's playing the best of the three of them and has been getting the best looks. And if he buries a couple of them, that's a huge difference. So I would say Ryan Nugent Hopkins is the answer to that one. I mean, Lucic in the physical element, that definitely can help. And it can definitely turn the tide in a game, and it can definitely generate some momentum. But to me, Nugent Hopkins is closer to breaking through.
Silverberg, Cogliano, Kessler have 11 points in three games combined. If you're Todd McClellan, would you look more for a McDavid-Getzlaff matchup tonight and a Nugent Hopkins-Kessler?
Yeah, I mean, I think he can try and get that look if he wants. If you're not winning faceoffs, you're not going to get that look. But I think that would be beneficial for them for sure. I think McDavid generally has done pretty good, especially late in the season when he got a Getzlaff matchup. I think he played well through that. So, yeah, go for it. See if you can do it. Get him out there on the with the last change. Make those moves. I think he has to be a little bit careful, though. Like, we haven't talked about it yet this week, but one of the goals against last week, it was a pretty aggressive double shift from McClellan on McDavid's line. So they went over the boards, and I think they had about a 56-second shift where they were up and down the ice at least two times, all the way down, all the way back twice. Then the whistle went, or then they changed, and then there was about 38 seconds later, there was a whistle, and he threw them back over the boards again. And that's when they got scored on. It was a really aggressive move by Todd McClellan, a really aggressive double shift for that line, and I think it bit them a little bit because they were tired. And so he was more aggressive last game in trying to duke and jive his way around some of the matchups. And in some cases it works, but in other cases it can bite you a little bit, and I feel like it did last game in that one instance.
Corey Perry gets promoted due to the Eves injury. While we assume didn't look like Eves. Carlisle said yesterday if he doesn't play, if he didn't skate this morning, he wasn't. And then today he said he was doubtful, so highly unlikely that he goes. And, you know, Corey Perry, very similar numbers to Jordan Eberle this year. Low shooting percentage, you know, lowest goal total in many years, and really hasn't got going in the playoffs either. He'll get up there. Obviously, he'll be energized to play with Getzlaff, but he's not the fleetest of foot for the Oilers. How do you think that change impacts the Ducks, either positively, or do you see an advantage somehow the Oilers can take advantage of with that new matchup?
Well, I mean, I don't know. Even though he's not playing great, I don't know that I would suggest at any point that Corey Perry is an advantage the Oilers need to take, that they need to take. He's a good player. He's a veteran player. He has had a similar year to Eberle in terms of lack of production and consistency. But the Ducks have better players on their team that can play two line. They can play two wingers ahead of Corey Perry on that side. So a third line fit based on his performance makes more sense for Corey Perry on the Ducks. But he still can be a dangerous player. And you reunite him with Ryan Getzlaff, where the bulk of the success that he's had in his career has come in that comfortable spot. You never know what you might get from Corey Perry in a game like this tonight. So what a luxury to have. You get Eves hurt. Well, just throw Corey Perry back into your top six. Corey Perry wasn't in their top six. No, he wasn't. So I don't know that there's an advantage there. He's not the fleetest of foot, but he's a crafty player. He's a scrappy player. If you can get McDavid, he took a penalty on McDavid last game. Any time you can match up Connor McDavid with guys who maybe aren't the best skaters, then that's an advantage. So maybe that's one area to take it is you try and head up and back on that side of the ice if you can.
Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us. We are live and on the rocks, Jasper Avenue and 118th Street. You have about 20 minutes to get down here if you want to go to the game tonight. We're giving away a pair of seats
Nice.
To number game number.
I'm on my way.
Well, I think you're going, but yeah, sure, why not? Now, and you never speed, so I'm not sure you'd get here in time. However, you look at Todd McClellan today, definitely in playoff mode, asking, you know, like zone entries, Ryan, on their power play, especially on the second unit, have not been good the last few games. The Ducks have been very aggressive. They seem to have figured out how the Oilers like to do that drop back pass. I'm curious to see if we see an adjustment on zone entries on the second unit power play tonight.
On the second unit, yeah. Perhaps, yeah. On the first unit, they just need to get the puck to Connor McDavid. So for some reason, in Anaheim for game one, Leon Draisaitl was the guy on the deep delay, and he was the one following up that they were hitting off that rush. And I wasn't sure why they switched that. I didn't think it needed to be switched. I think since the Oilers have primarily put the puck into Connor McDavid's hands on the zone entries, that's their best chance to gain the zone. He overwhelms them with speed, and he normally gets it. So I think they should try and do the same thing with Nugent Hopkins on the second unit. I think you attack with speed, and you put the puck into a guy that's got a combination of speed and hands, like Nugent Hopkins does. I think that gives you your best chance to gain the zone. So whether they're going to or not, I'm not sure. They were practicing it yesterday, and McDavid was the lead, like the main delay guy for the first unit. The second unit doesn't necessarily do that type of a delayed play. They like to just break out kind of in unison and go to one of the wings. But you're right, man. Entries were not good. When they get in and get set up, they've got a good power play. But when they have trouble getting set up, it doesn't go well. So Jay Woodcroft and company are going to have to try and do a better job finding ways into the zone and then let the guys work their offensive magic.
Washington, Pittsburgh, are you expecting any carryover in the game tonight?
Fireworks. Did you hear their pregame comments to back and forth one another with Beagle and Kessel?
Yeah. I thought it was quite comical.
And Beagle was pretty funny. Even the look on his face, he kind of went, like, ouch. Like, that actually really stung. It was kind of funny. I don't know how much fireworks there will be. It's a playoff game. Now, if somebody gets a clean shot in on Niskanen, if they've got an opportunity to light him up and finish a check, I think they will. I think they'll maybe get in his face a little bit after the whistle. But this is not the time of year to go waste one and put them on a power play. And that can change the tide of a game. So I don't think there'll be any stupidity unless there's a 3 or 4 goal spread. And I don't know that the Penguins are built that way anyways.
Yeah, well, I know a lot of people were suggesting they put Sestito in the lineup. And, of course, they didn't do that. Obviously, that would be a wasted spot. But you just look, you know, you see guys like Chris Kunitz. You don't necessarily have to be a goon to want to go after Matt Niskanen, right? Like that's, and I wonder if there's suddenly a 2 or 3 goal lead, I'll be curious to see if Trotz keeps him off the ice late in that game.
Yeah, maybe. If the game is in hand and it's essentially over, then maybe he's uses them sparingly. I think it's a mistake if the Penguins get too preoccupied with it. I mean, they're not bringing Crosby back. Everybody knows that Niskanen, all the things he's had to say about it, he didn't feel it was an intentional play. I didn't feel like he intentionally tried to cross-check Crosby in the head and knock him out of the series. If you get too tied up in chasing that guy around, I think it's a mistake. I think the Penguins need to focus on their game. Let Malkin do what Malkin's going to do here. And if you get a chance to hit him, hit him. If you get chirping with him after the whistle and somebody can goad him into something, great. But I just wouldn't be too preoccupied if I were them. This is the playoffs, man. Every swing in a game is crucial. And that kind of stuff, you have those enforcers there because sometimes you need them over to keep to regulate. They're not for the playoffs. And so take a clean shot at him if you can, but don't get too worked up about it.
How many sausages did you have this afternoon?
I stayed away from the sausage, buddy. I was very proud of myself. It was a good decision. Our friend Jack Michaels was immediately regretting his. But kudos to the Oilers PR staff setting us up with some pierogies and sausages today. I'm trying to buy us off for some nice coverage tonight. That's not going to happen, but it was really nice. A little meal, a little midday meal there.
Well, the story of the day, though, for me was, I'm sure you've heard it, Jermaine Franklin was telling me the story when he was how he's being, somebody called him and legitimately asked for his autograph thinking he was Roger Millions.
Yeah. I know we're calling him Roger all day today. Well, listen, I mean, they have similar jawlines, right? That's kind of that's a simple mistake to make, right?
Wow.
Come on.
Similar jawlines. At first, I wasn't sure if he was just trying to pull my leg or not. But he's like, no, seriously. And I was like, are you kidding me? Then he actually told me afterwards, he goes, and then he laughs. He goes, yeah, you know what? Someone actually thought I was Ryan Rashog once too. And I was like, come on. I was like, wow.
Not on his worst day, hey? Not on his worst day. Isn't it funny that in terms of nicest men in the business, that, I mean, Gene Principe obviously is the front runner here in town, but that the guy who might be second or a close tie with him is Jermaine Franklin. Both of them work in Alberta. We have two of the nicest reporters on the planet in Alberta, and Jermaine Franklin and Gene Principe. Setting the bar for niceness.
They could have a nice off. We should have them compete in it somehow. That would be fun.
Yeah, well, a nice off would be a tie. A pun off would go to Gene by a mile.
Oh, well, yeah. I'm not sure there's anyone in North America that could keep up to him on those. I've seen them at work just right
is
off the top
title
of his
you want?
Head.
I don't know.
Yeah. Hey, well, you want some sort of title, right?
Absolutely.
I would think everybody would want one title at some point, and he has that one. So there you go. Shogger, we will see you at the rink.
Okay. Enjoy the game tonight, Pop. We'll see you later.